Today's share is Masechta Menachas Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yutes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Maskal of Huna. As Rav taught us in the previous share, Rav's halacha was that every time the Torah repeats a din twice by Menachas, that is to teach us that that rule is essential. If, on the other hand, it's not repeated twice, then the rule is that it's not essential. So we will learn today, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the sugya of melech, the sugya of salting the kabanis. And we know the halacha is, akol kaban chatak rav melech, the Torah requires that in all kabanis salt be brought, salt be put. I saw in the Rishonim a number of reasons why. The chinuch suggests that it's only appropriate that a carbon that's brought to Hashem be as tasty and as well prepared as possible. And certainly salt and salting a carbon is absolutely essential to making it as tasty as possible. Another pshat that the chinuch and other Rishonim suggest is that we know that salt is a preservative. And the lesson of the salt and the carbon is that as a person brings a carbon and the hashpa and the influence that the carbon brings on a person should be preserved, should remain. Another pshat that I saw suggested is that salt, we know that, we've spoken about the Medrash, that the water, mayim, came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an issue, that everything has a place on the Mizbeach, but it doesn't seem that water finds its place on the Mizbeach. So, even though we've discussed that Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos does speak about water, but it's just once a year Sukkos, and therefore salt is put on all kabanis. The water, salt is derived from water, should have a place on the Mizbeach. There's a Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand the obligation of putting salt on a carbon. The Rambam seems to learn that it's an obligation on the individual. The individual has to put salt on the carbon, and therefore, according to the Rambam, if a Kohen didn't put salt on the carbon, he's Chayiv Malkus. He was over a Lesesei. Other, a Lesesei Shiesh B'maisi, he was supposed to put on salt. Other Rishonim suggest that it's not a concept regarding the individual, but it's rather a concept regarding the carbon. A carbon has to have salt on it, and therefore, if the carbon is not salted, it doesn't speak to an individual. It seems that clearly the Sfas Emes is of the opinion that it's an obligation on the individual, because the Sfas Emes asks a question that, as we discussed many times, there is a rule we're going to discuss, Masechta Temura. The Kamas Adam Rachmana Loisavri Ovid Loimahani, if you don't do what the Torah says, what you've done is ineffective. And therefore he asks, why is the halacha that if somebody brought a salt, carbon without salt, it should be a kosher carbon? The Torah says you should bring salt. So if the Sfas Emes were learning that it's not a personal obligation, it's an obligation on the carbon, but not on the individual, how could the Sfas Emes ask this question? Clearly, it seems that it is the opinion of the Sfas Emes that it's a personal obligation, and the Sfas Emes gives the teretz that we've quoted previously, that rule of Kamusa Dhamma Rahman Aloy Savid Yovloy Mahani doesn't apply by Kachim. Interesting, however, to note that the Ramah, when he speaks about the halacha of having salt and salting the bread that we eat at a suda on the table, doesn't use the word to salt the food. The Ramah says there's an obligation lohaniach melech to have salt on the table, not to necessarily salt the food. And there are those that explain the reason the Ramah says that way is because in earlier times, bread was typically baked without salt. And since the bread was baked without salt, you needed to have salt applied to the bread. Now bread is typically salted, in fact, up to the point that the halacha says that if somebody doesn't have salt on the table and he wants to dip the bread into salt, what he should do is dip the piece of bread into another piece of bread. There's a very interesting Hilchus Katanis that says that if somebody doesn't have salt, he he should have sugar on the table. However, the Paiskim are very clear in explaining that even though the Hilchos Ketanis says that sugar could be substituted for salt, that's only regarding the halacha that we're discussing, that salt should be on the table. Says the Hilchos Ketanis that sugar could substitute for salt. But certainly everybody is in agreement, the Paiskim say, that when one needs to use salt to extract the dam, melicha, from meat, their sugar cannot substitute for salt, and only salt can be used for extracting from melicha dam. So begins the Gemara Maskelah of Huna. So Rav Huna asked a question to Rav. Harei melech, the halacha about salt, the light ton of akra, that we don't find the pasuk repeating this obligation, and yet ma'akfa, bay, is essential. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Bris Melech Oilem Hu. The pasuk says regarding the carbon mincha, Shtei Bris Amura B'Melech, that the carbon should have salt, Divrei Reb Yehuda. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon has a different way of getting to this conclusion that all kabbanis should be salted. Nemeb Kan Bris Melech Oilem. Regarding the carbon mincha, the Torah uses the word Bris Melech Oilem. But Nemeb Lahalon, regarding the kahuna, when Pinchas was awarded the kahuna, the Torah uses the words bris kahunas oilam, explains Rav Shimon, shem she'ef shel kabanis b'loi kahuna, just like kahuna is an essential part of bringing karbanis, the kohen does the avoida, kach she'ef shel kabanis b'loi melech, kabanis also have to have salt. The Mefarshim discuss, is there any machloikis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon? Rashi seems to learn that there is no machloikis, it's only Machlokes is how they get to this conclusion, how important salt is. But they don't really have a machlokes. I have a did see other mefarshim that do indicate that there is a machlokes. Some mefarshim suggest that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since he's learning it from the Karban Mincha, only by the Karban Mincha will Rabbi Yehuda speak about the essentiality of salt, not by other karbanis. Another nafkamina, the Meshech Chachma suggests, is that Rav Shimon compares salt to kahuna. And just like we know that we discussed in Masechta Zvachim, that when kabbanis were brought on bamis, a kohen is not required to do the avoida. So according to Reb Shimon, so too, when a carbon is brought on a bama, salt will not be required. Whereas according to Reb Yehuda, salt will be required on all kabbanis, even kabbanis brought on a bama. So get back to our original question. Rav said that only a din that's repeated is what's obligated. The chiv of putting salt is not a rule that's obligated. Yet here we have Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon saying that all kabbanis must be salted. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Katani Didan Sfirulei. Rav agrees with the Tan of our Mishnah. Domar, that we learned in the Mishnah, like Molach, if somebody didn't salt the carbon, it's still kosher. Amlei Abaya asks Abaya, Ihochi, if we're going to explain that loy malach, when the Mishnah used the word loy malach, it means that it wasn't salted at all, so we should explain the word that the Mishnah said, loy yotzak, that yitzika didn't take place, nami, the same way that loy yotzak klal. And we know that that isn't true. Ella, how did we explain the words loy yotzak in the Mishnah? Loy yotzak koyin, that the kohen did not do yitzika elazar hachinami. So the same way when the Mishnah says loy molach, the way to understand it means loy molach kohen elazar, which means the question is as follows: just like when the Mishnah used the words loy molach loy yotzak, we're saying it doesn't mean that yitzika was omitted. It just means it wasn't done by the kohen; it was done by the zar. So too, when the Mishnah uses the words loy molach, it doesn't mean that the melicha was omitted. And therefore we would be able to say the Rav is following the Tan of our Mishnah that says the Melech is not required, but rather the Taitch of Loi Molach in the Mishnah means that it wasn't salted by a Kohen, only by a Zor. Ask the Mefarshim the obvious question. As we learned when we began the Sugya after the Mishnah, the Mishnah says Loi Yotzak, the Mishnah says Loi Bolo. And as the Gemara clearly explained, that although the definition of Loi Yotzak means that Yitzika was not omitted, it was done, just it wasn't done by a Kohen, it was only done by a Zor, the Gemara clearly indicated that that's not the way to define Loi Bolal. The way to define by Balal means that the Belila was entirely skipped. So ask the Achroinim, why don't we say that that's the way we'll explain Loi Molach? What forces us to explain that Loi Molach should be defined like Loi Yotzak, and therefore we will have a question on Rav? Why doesn't the Gemara define Loi Molach as the Gemara defined the words Loi Bolal in the Mishnah, and then we won't have a question on Rav? And explain the Mefarshim. The reason the Gemara didn't attempt that teretz is because if we would go with that teretz, we would end up with a machlokes tanoim, where our Mishnah would hold the Melicha is not essential, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon that we just learned would hold Melicha is essential. And the Gemara doesn't want to end up in such a place where there's a machlokes tanoim. So therefore the Gemara is saying, it must be that when our Mishnah says Loi Molach, it should be defined the same way as Loi Yotzak was defined, that it was completely omitted. But if it's defined that way, how will we understand Rav's opinion? Answers the Gemara. Amalei. Says the Gemara, how do you want to say that Loi Molach in the Mishnah means? Loi Molach means that the Melich was done by a Zor. V'chisal al datach, shezor karv l'mizbeach. May a Zor come to the Mizbeach. The Melich was done on the Mizbeach. And therefore, it can't be that Loi Molach in the Mishnah means that the Melicha was omitted, was done by a Zor. What must Loi Molach mean? Loi Molach must mean that it was completely left out, and therefore we have an opinion that says Melicha could be left out, and Rav will be following that opinion. Ask Tosfos, Masechta Zvachim, why can we say the Loi Molach that was done by the Zor? And indeed, as we're learning that the Zor may not come to the Mizbeach, but when it means that the Tzar may not come to Mizbeach, the Tzar did it from the ground. And that's why he did the Melicha that way. So Mefarshim explained, Tosfos explains, that if the person doing the Melicha isn't standing on top of the Mizbeach, next to the carbon, he can never do the Melicha really properly. So it can't mean that the Tzar did it just not coming to the Mizbeach. Furthermore, ask the Mefarshim, that why don't we say that the Mishnah saying that indeed Melicha should be done l'chatchila by a kohen, but the Mishnah is teaching us that if the Zor improperly went to the Mizbeach, because the Zor doesn't belong next to the Mizbeach, and he did the Melicha will be kosher. So I saw many truths. One teretz is that our Mishnah doesn't seem to be differentiating between l'chatchilas and b'dievitz. So to explain that our Mishnah means that l'chatchila Zor shouldn't come to the Mizbeach and do Melicha, but b'dievet if he did, it's acceptable, is a difficult explanation. Another explanation is, since the Melicha is done after the Kemitza, a Melicha done after Kemitza, we learned the Gemara previously, everything has to be done by the Kohanim. Chazanish has a very interesting approach. Chazanish says that if a Zor is not supposed to do something, when he does it, it's no different. I'm using the words of the Chazon Ish, like a maisa koif. It would be no different than if a monkey did it. If a monkey did it, we would all understand that it's not acceptable. Similarly, a czar, if he's not supposed to do it, we can't make a chilek between l'chatchilas and b'diavad. V'ba yisema, another teretz, how to reconcile Rav's opinion with Rabbi Yehuda Mishuman. Kivin d'ksibei bris, since the Torah uses the words bris, command the Tanabek Rodamya. Since the Torah uses the word bris, that gives it the same status as a halacha which is repeated. The Rav agrees that a halacha that's repeated is essential. And in fact, many Mefarshim are of the opinion that our Mishnah is not necessarily arguing with this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. And even though our Mishnah says Loi Molach, and here it says that Melicha is required, so I saw a number of ways of reconciling. One pshat is that our Mishnah is speaking about the Shirayim. The Kemitza, everybody agrees. The Koimitz, everybody agrees, must be salted. Our Mishnah is not talking about the Koimitz. Our Mishnah is talking about the Shirayim, which are eaten by the Kohen. There the Mishnah says that the Melicha is not required. Or, I saw another pshat from the Sfasemis, that even though, as I said a moment ago, the proper time to do the Melicha is only after the Kemitza was taken, our Mishnah is teaching us that if the Melicha was done at an earlier stage, before the Kohen was taken, and only the portion that was salted, that was used for the karmic was salted, and the rest of the karmic mincha wasn't, it'll still be a valid melicha. Ask the Gemara. The entire premise of our Gemara today has been that the Torah doesn't repeat the word, the chiyuv to do melicha. And therefore, how would Rav hold that it's essential? Ask the Gemara of Laitana Bekra, is that true that the chiyuv to do melicha is not repeated? The kog siv, the kol karbim minchas v'melech temlech, the pasuk begins with the chiyuv to salt and ends with the chiyuv to salt, or the Rashash explains the words v'melech temlech as a double lashon. Answer the Gemara, Hahumi Baile, that pasuk is required to teach us a different halacha. Hahumi Baile l'chiratanya, ila nemek karbim b'melech, if the Torah only said the word carbon requires salting, shemeani, we would assume that afilu eitzim, if somebody, we're going to discuss this later in our shir, donates wood as a carbon, that wood should require salting. Or dam. Or if somebody has the zrikas adam, that the dam applied to the mizbeach should require salting. Should nickel carbon, because these are also called carbon. Tamalimer. That's why the Torah stresses the words mincha, to teach us ma mincha miuchedes shechem bar and chayvela. Mincha is such a thing that has something else coming along with it. The wood is brought along with the mincha to burn the kaimitz. Af kol shechem bar mloy chayvela. So too, only an item that has something that comes along with it should be burnt, should be, has a requirement of salt. The dam, the eitzim, don't have wood come along with them. The dam is not burnt. The eitzim are of wood themselves. You don't have to bring eitzim for the eitzim. And therefore, they don't have a chiyuv for mincha. Ask the Gemara, fine, if we're using the mincha as the model, why do we say that that's the model? E, ma mincha miuchedes. If I should say that what, how do I learn from the carbon mincha, the chiyuv dam? We'll learn this way. The mincha has the characteristic shemateris. You burn the kaimitz, and then the shirayim become mutter. Af kol shemater, so too, everything which is matter has a chiyuv to be salted. And if I learn that way, avi dam shematir. So dam, we know that once the dam, we have zrikas adam, then you could burn the emrim. So if we're using mincha as the model, why are we saying that when we use mincha as a model, ask the Gemara, that what does it mean? What is the characteristic of carbon mincha that we're seeking? The characteristic that a carbon mincha has to have wood come along with it, maybe the characteristic that makes a mincha unique and brings the chiv of melech is the fact that the melech, that the mincha is a matir. And if we would follow that approach, then dam, which is also a matir, would have a chiyuv of salting, tamaloymer. That's why the Torah says, mi'al minchascha, to learn the minchas mechuyuv melicha, v'loy mi'al dimcha. Yochel, continues the Braisa, tei mincha kula tuna melech, that the entire carbon mincha should require salting, even the shirayim, tamaloymer carbon. Carbon ton melech, only the part that's put on the mizbeach, the kaimitz requires salting, vein mincha kula tuna melech, not the entire carbon mincha. Machlokes achroinim, that even though the Gemara clearly is teaching us that only the kaimitz requires salting, not the rest, if lechatchila, the shirayim should be salted. Veinli ela kaimitz, this only would teach us that the kaimitz has a chiv of salting. Menayin l'rabbas as halavoyna, how do we know that the levoyna that comes with the kaimitz also must be salted, says the Gemara, Marbani as halavoyna, we know that the levoina has to be salted, shekein bo ima b'kli achad. It comes with one in the same keli as the carbon mincha. And the Rashba already teaches us that there are two ways of understanding these words, shekein bo ima b'kli achad. One way of understanding, says the Rashba, is that just the fact that the levoina and the mincha start off in the same klisharis is enough to say that just like the kaimitz must be salted, so to the levoina. That's one way of understanding, says the Rashba. Another way of understanding, says the Rashba, and we'll see if this is relevant as we get deeper into the shir, is that the Torah is teaching us that since the levoina is brought in the same keli as the carbon mincha, we view the levoina and the mincha as one carbon. However, says the Gemara, A person has the ability to be bring a carbon just of levaina, or levaina baba bezichin, the levaina that comes in the spoons by the lechem upon him. Vaktiris, the ktiris that's brought should be salted. And there's an interesting question that the mefarshim discuss. According to the opinion, this brisa that says that the ktiris requires salting, we know that those that say the parsha pitam ktiris, we know that part of the pitam ktiris was the melech stoimus. So how are we to view the melech stoimus that came along with the ktiris? Are we to view the melech stoimus as an ingredient of the ktiris? And even if the ktiris doesn't require salting, the melech stoimus should be put into it? Or are we to understand that only according to this Tana that holds that the ktiris should be salted, will he hold that the ktiris has to have melech stoimus? But if we don't hold that ktiris requires salting, that melech stoimus wouldn't be required. Michas kahanim, which we know is completely burnt, there is no kaimitz. Michas kai mashiach, the chavite kain gadol. Michas nesachim, and muri chattis, which are put on the mizbeach. The muri oshim, which are put on the mizbeach. The muri kachim, kachim, which is Rashi explains on the emirim of the shlomim that are brought on shvuos of the shalmei tzibur. Because as the Rishonim explain, by deduction, all other kachikachim already mentioned. Chatos is mentioned, Oshem is mentioned, Oil is mentioned. So kachikachim must mean the Shalmit Sibur. Veimri kachikalim requires salting. Veivri oila devarim of the carbon oil which are burnt on the Mizbeach. Veoila sa'if requires salting. Farshan point out, certainly the chatos sa'if doesn't require salting, because the chatos ha'oif, none of the meat of the carbon is put on the mizbeach, only the dam of the chatos ha'oif is put on the mizbeach. Menayin, how do we know that all of these carbonas also require melicha? Tamaloymer, akol carbon chatak of melech. Says the Gemara, Amamar, engli al kaimitz, we learned in the Braisa that only the kaimitz maybe should require salting. Menayin l'rabbisus alvoina, how do we know that we should include the levoina? Says the Gemara, Marban is levoina, the levoina is included. She came ba'imah b'kli echad. It comes in the same keli as the karban mincha. So now, ask the Gemara. Previously, we said that what is the characteristic that makes mincha unique, and from that characteristic, we learn that all other things that are the same require salting. Is the fact that the wood comes along with the kaimitz to burn it. Amrit, we previously said that what is the unique characteristic of mincha? Ma mincha miyuchedes shacherim barim chayim v'lo. And now we're saying that the characteristic is that the levaina comes with it. Says the marachikam. This is the way to understand the braisa. Ema, the pasuk says carbon. First the pasuk says the word carbon, and then the pasuk says mincha. So we should look at it as a carbon klal or mincha prat, and we should look at it as a klal or prat. We should look at it as a klal or prat type of limit. Where our loch is aim beklal el mash beprat. And we would therefore say mincha in only carbon mincha requires salting. Midach ren eloy, no other carbon requires salting. Hada amar, therefore continues the Bryce to say that rather the way to look at the pasuk is not as a klal or prat, but rather to look at it as the kol kabancha, as a chaz of a klal, and therefore to look at the pasuk as a klal or prat a klal, where the rule is iyat don el kena prat. We compare everything to the prat. It doesn't have to be only what's in the specification, but anything that's similar to the specification. Ma prat mefurish. We're going to say that what is the unique characteristic of the prat of the karban mincha, as we've said, shecherim boim chavala, that other things come along with it. The wood comes along with the kaimitz. So too will we say, kol shachem b'ayim chayvala, anything that comes along with it will require salting. Says the Gemara, how have we been defining achem b'ayim chayvala, that other things come along, eitzim? That we're saying wood. And therefore we're going to say, af kol, any carbon that has eitzim come along, should require salting. Ask the Gemara, who says that that's the characteristic of mincha that we should look for? Maybe the characteristic of mincha is levoina, and that the characteristic of mincha that we should pick up on and say that that is the model, the ke'ena prat, that brings the chiv of salting will be anything that has along with it a partner. And just like the mincha has along with it a partner, the levoina, so too any carbon that has with it a partner has a chiv of salting. Anything else will not have a chiv of salting. But ask the Gemara, if that's the unique characteristic that we're looking for, and according to this, again, what we spoke about earlier, we'll say that the levoina and the mincha are not to be viewed as one entity, but rather they're to be viewed as two entities that come together, the mincha and the levoina. So what will be the similar, where will we have something else that based on that we'll say we'll have a chiv of salting? We'll say it means the dam, dik and nesachim, that where the dam comes along the nesachim. Ask the Mefarshim, didn't we learn expressly earlier that the pasuk says that a miyut, that dam is excluded from the chiv of salting? So how can we say that that would have a chiv of salting? So Mefarshim say that we would say that that limud is not coming to exclude the dam. Dam is mechuyev in melicha. We would say that that limud is coming to exclude avarim. Don't have a chiv of salting. Ask the Gemara, are dam and the nesachim a partnership? Don't the nesachim come along with the emirim? Nesachim had the emirim with us. Why would I say, says the Gemara, that nesachim are more of a partnership with the emirim than they are with the dam? Because the nesachim, because the emirim represent the eating, the meat, and the nesachim, the wine, represent the achil of ishtiyah. And therefore, we can't say that when we speak about a partnership, it's dam and the nesachim, because the partner of emrim, the partner of the nesachim is not the dam. The partner of the nesachim suggests the Gemara is the emrim. The Sfasemis, the Briskerov, actually said that the Gemara could have asked the question immediately on this. How can we say that the nesachim are the partners of emrim, where we know that the halach is, we've discussed this halach many times, that if one doesn't bring the emrim at all, the carbon is still kosher? The nesachim are absolutely essential. So how can we say that the nesachim, which are an essential component, are partners with the emirim, which are not essential? Of course it's much more sensible to say that the nesachim, which are essential, are partners with the dam that are essential. But the Gemara says a different word. Adirabba, makes more sense to say kapara v'simcha. And therefore, the dam, which represents the kapara, the nesachim that represent the simcha, are partners. And therefore we'll say, mincha and levoina are partners. That's a characteristic that the Torah is reflecting on. And from there we learn that anything that shares that characteristic, meaning the dam and the nesachim, melicha will be required, and only dam will be the only other carbon or part of a carbon that requires mincha, requires melicha. This concept that after kapara the simcha, so firstly I saw in the Shem Shmuel and the Chassam Sofer, they both say that we see this concept that Yom Tov Sukkos is called Zman Simchaseinu. Why is Yom Tov Sukkos called Zman Simchaseinu more than other Yom Tovim? Because Yom Tov Sukkos comes after Yom Kippur, where Yom Kippur we have a kapara. Following kapara comes Sukkos, which represents Simchas Torah. But then I saw another beautiful vart from the Klaus Magareba. He asks a question. In all Yom Tovim, when we speak about the Yom Tov in the Tefillah, we say Chag HaSukkos, Chag HaMatzis. Shmini Atzeres is the one Yom Tov, we don't say Chag Shmini Atzeres, but rather we say Yom Shmini Atzeres HaChagazah. The word Chag is said after Shmini Atzeres. Why? Why is Shmini Atzeres different than all other Yom Tovim? So he says a beautiful word. He says, what is unique about Shmini Atzeres? In other words, if Hashem wanted to make Sukkos a day longer, so instead of Sukkos being 7 days, Sukkos should have been 8 days. Why, what's Shmini Atzeres a separate Yom Tov for? So we know the famous Medrash, that really Sukkos ends after 7 days, and Klal Yisrael is finished with Yom Tov. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to his nation, to Klal Yisrael, Koshe Elai Pridaschem, like a parent who loves his child and can't take that his child, can't withstand that his child is leaving, Itzru alai yom echad. remain with me one more day. So that's pshat. Just like we see in our Gemara, says the Klaus Magareba, that after there's a kapara, there's simcha, so too, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Itzru, Yoyim Shmini Atzeres, it's the eighth day, it's a new yontif. What is the yontif? Itzru, Itvu, stay with me. When Klal Yisrael see that relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing to us, then Chag, the simcha, after such a relationship, like this simcha after kapara. So again, the Gemara is asking, maybe the model should be that anything that has a partner, mincha and levoina, and dam and the sachim, el levoina, says the Gemara, can't be used as the model. Because the levoina, boim abekli echad. The sachim ain't boim abekli echad. So what the Gemara is saying is, you can't compare the relationship of dam to the sachim to the relationship of mincha and levoina. Mincha and levoina are in one keli. The sachem and dam are not in one keli. And again, if we want to learn the Gemara on a lumdish way, but the Gemara is going with the other approach of the Rajba, that the relationship between mincha and levoina is not that they just happen to come together. They're all part of one entity, of one carbon. Whereas certainly the relationship of dam and the sachem doesn't make them into one entity. Aval Eitza. But so therefore the proper characteristic to seek is the characteristic of Eitzim. The Kehecha, the Miskashra by Mincha, just like a Mincha has Eitzim come along with it, Hachi Miskashra, Bakula Kabanas, so to any carbon that has Eitzim come along with it, requires salting. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema, if we're saying that should be considered a Klal Prat, a Klal, and Iyatadon Ke'elika Eina Prat, it has to be similar to the Prat. So why don't we say the follow? Ma Prat Mefurish, what are the characteristics of the carbon Mincha? Shachayrim ba'am chayvela, the kaz would come along with it, umateris, and it's a matir. And based on that, we'll say that in order to be required to have salt, to be k'ena prat, it has to be something, kol shachayrim ba'am chayvela, that has wood come along with it to burn it, umateris, umaynihu, what would fit into that category? The levaina, habab v'zichin. The levoina that come along with the spoons by the lechem upon him, that have in it the characteristic that wood come along with it, because wood is used to burn that tyrus, and that levoina, and furthermore, once that levoina is burnt, the lechem upon him may be consumed, the shari lechem. And therefore only the levoina that comes in the bezichin, that will be something that requires salting. Avo midachin aloi, nothing else will require salting. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is really a very fundamental issue Tosfos discusses. When we look at a klal uprat to klal, how should it be looked at? Should it be looked at as a klal uprat, and then just the second klal is added to it? Or should it be looked really as a prat uklal, and the first klal is added to it? And Tosfos explains, if we say it's a klal uprat, as we said earlier in our shir, when it's a klal uprat, en bechlal el mash befrat. So comes along the second klal and expands it. But it doesn't have the ability to completely expand it. So it has to be extremely similar to the prat to be included. That's one way of explaining the Gemara. And therefore the Gemara says, just having one characteristic similar to the Kavar Mincha is not adequate. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is that even if you say that we look at a klal prat, a klal as a prat to klal, and the first klal is the one that comes extra, and therefore it's very broad, it still at least has to have two similar characteristics. And therefore we'll say only the levana from the bezichin, which has two similar characteristics to the kavar mincha, will require salting. Anything else that doesn't have two common denominators will not require salting. Answers the Gemara. Midi israch mi'al minchas v'oy mi'al dimcha. We explained earlier in our shir that the pasuk by saying mi'al minchas v'oy mi'al dimcha comes to teach us that the salt is not, the dam doesn't require salting. Now, salt only, dam only has one common characteristic with the mincha, with the kaimitz, that it's a matter. So if the Torah is teaching us that in order to be chayiv in melicha, it has to have two common denominators with the mincha, then obviously the salt will be, the dam will be excluded. If we see that the Torah had to go out of the way to exclude dam, what is the Torah teaching us? The Torah is teaching us that one characteristic is all that you need. And Dam does share one characteristic with the Mincha. Still, it should be excluded. One characteristic is enough. What is the one characteristic? The wood comes along. Ask the Gemara, Omamar, as we just said, that the word Me'al Minchoscha comes to exclude V'loi Me'al Dimcha. Ask the Gemara, Ema, maybe the way to understand the Brice is as follows. The Pasuk V'al Minchoscha V'loi Me'al Avarecha, and that the Avrim wouldn't require salting. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Avrim Havalei L'Rebuya, it makes more sense to be married by the Avrim, that they require salting. Shekein Ashban Tamay Simen. What they have all the following common characteristics. Achem barim l'chayvaloi. The Avrim, just like the Dam, just like the Mincha, have wood that come along to burn it. Achem barim l'chayvaloi kamaisai. Ishim kamaisai. The Kaimitz is burnt. The Avrim are burnt. Bechutz kamaisai. The Avrim may not be taken outside of the Azara. The, it always are burnt in the Azara. The Kaimitz is always burnt in the Azara. Whereas dam, we've learned many times, the avoid of the dam, some chattis pnimius, is done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Nicer kamaisa, Avram could become nicer. Karim Mincha could become nicer. Dam can never become nicer. Tuma kamaisa, a kaimitz could become tamei. The Avram could become tamei. Dam doesn't have the din of tuma. Me'ila kamaisa, as we're going to learn, that Avram could be subject to the halachas amila. The kaimitz could be subject to the halachas amila. Dam can never be subject to the dam amila. That's why it makes more sense to say that what is similar to the kaimitz, the Avram. And just like the kaimitz must be salted, so too must the Avram be salted. Ask the Gemara, we can make a different argument. Adrava, dam havei leil ribuye. We should include dam. She came matir kamaisa. The halach is that dam is a matter, just like kaimitz is a matter. After the zrik stam, we could eat from the carbon, we could burn the amrim. So too, after the burning of the kaimitz, we could eat the shirayim. And nifsal b'shkiyas acham kamaisai. The avrim, as we learned in Masechta Zvachim, could be burnt on the mizbeach all night long. The dam, however, as soon as shkiyah becomes pasul balina, and the kaimitz has to be burnt before the shkiyah, answers the Gemara, Hanach Nefish. So the Mefarshim ask, isn't this obvious? The Gemara in Amud Aleph gave no less than 6 comparisons between the Avarin and the Mincha. And here we only have 2 comparisons. So it's so obvious that Avarin are more similar to the Mincha than the Dam. So the Mefarshim answer, yes, but numbers don't always count. And since these 2 factors are so essential to the definition of these items, maybe even though it's 2, dam should be more similar to mincha. Dam should be more similar to mincha than Avrim. Says the Gemara that no, that isn't enough. Another question that Mefarshim asks, that there's another common characteristic, that the dam and the kaimitz are not subject to pigel, but Avrim can become pigel. So I saw 2 turutzim to this question. One turutz is that the Gemara is only looking for common denominators that represent the chumrah. The fact that dam and kaimitz can't become pigel, and Avrim can become pigel, is a kula. We're looking for common denominators that represent the chumrah, not a kula. Another teretz is that why are dam and kaimitz not subject to pigel? Because they're matirim, as we learned earlier in our Masechta. Only something which is a nitter, not something which is a matter, can become pigel. And therefore, that's already included in what the Gemara said, shekein matir kamaisa. Omamar. So we learned earlier in our shir, Shemeyani, afil eitzim v'dam shenikru karbid, that they should be chayiv in melicha. Ask the Gemara, man shamatli, who is the Tana that holds eitzim ikru karbid, that the eitzim are called a karbid? Says the Gemara, Rebbe. We're going to see that it is the opinion of Rebbe. But ask the Gemara, according to Rebbe, that considers bringing, when somebody brings wood alone, a carbon, Rebbe holds that indeed Eitzim Bari Melech, the Tanya, carbon, says Rebbe, we learn from this word, Melamet Shmesnadim Eitzim. Somebody could bring a carbon, donating Eitzim alone. That means, according to the Rabbanan, it seems that only way you could donate wood is by giving it over to the Tzibur, and we're going to learn later in a Masechta, because the Tzibur had to supply the wood that was on the Mizbeach. Rebbe, on the other hand, holds there's an independent carbon called carbon Eitzim. If somebody donates a carbon Eitzim, says Rebbe, how much is the minimum he has to give? Shnei Gezirim. The Kain Reimer, the Kerama who palmed a carbon Eitzim. That they had a carbon Eitzim. Rebbe Omer, Eitzim carbon Minchahim, that when somebody donates a carbon Mincha, a carbon Eitzim, they should be treated like a carbon Mincha. The Tunim Melech, and just like we've been learning, carbon Mincha requires Melech, so too with a carbon Eitzim. Tunim Hagosha, as we learned in the previous year, that a carbon Mincha requires Hagosha, so too does a carbon Eitzim. Rama Rava, Ledibri Rebbe, according to Rebbe, Eitzim Tunim Kamitza. Eitzim would require kamitza. Mefarshim explained that means you would have to chop up some of the wood in order to be able to do kamitza, because you can't do kamitza on a piece of wood. Mefarshim, however, do say that carbon eitzim don't require levoina. Even though we're learning that a carbon eitzim is considered like a mincha, we know, as we have been discussing, that many carbon minchas don't require levoina and shemen. Carbon eitzim would be in that category. Vamra papa, continues the Gemara, Ledivri Rebbe, eitzim, if somebody brings a carbon eitzim, tzrichim eitzim, you have to bring wood to burn that wood. So you see, according to Rebbe, eitzim have all of the characteristics of a carbon mincha. You need to bring eitzim along with it to burn, and it has to have melech. So how are we saying that eitzim don't require melech? Answers the Gemara, Sami mikan eitzim. Indeed, eitzim should be removed, and indeed, if somebody brings a carbon eitzim, it has to be salted. Ask the Gemara, elikra lemutimai. The pasuk is coming to exclude that some carbon doesn't require salting, which e lemutei, that because it has to have the common characteristic with a carbon mincha. If it's coming to me madam, that we already excluded me'al minchascha nafka. Answers the Gemara, indeed, afik eitzim, take out eitzim. Eitzim will require salting via nesachim, and put in its place that nesachim don't require salting. The Tanya, Ava Yain Vadam Veitzim, Vaktaris Ein Tunim Melech. As a Ramani, who is going to be the Tan of this Braisa? E Rebbe, if we're going to say it's the Tan of Rebbe, Kasha Eitzim. We just said that according to Rebbe, Eitzim requires salting, and this Braisa says that Eitzim doesn't require salting. E Rabbanon, Rabbanon we learned on Daf Chaf and Ma'alef say that Ktiris requires salting, and here it says that Ktiris doesn't require salting. Answers the Gemara, Hai Tanahu. The Tan of this Braisa is the following Tana. The Tanya of Shmuel ben Noshe Rabbi Yochanan ben Brayk Omer, Ma'aprat Mefurish, Dover Shemekabel Tuma, Vola Leishim, V'yeshna Mizbech Achitzim. Those three common characteristics to carbon mincha are what you need to require salting. Af Dover, Af kol davar mekabel tuma v'oil ishim v'yetsu al mizbeach v'yesh al mizbeach itzim yotzu etzim shemekabel tuma logs of wood are not mekabel tuma yotzu dam v'yayin shein oil mel ishim they're not burnt yotzu k'tayrus sheina al mizbeach achitzim, and that will be the tana that of this brisa. But the rabbanon will include k'tayrus requiring salting, and Rebbe will include etzim as requiring salting. Interesting vart I saw. Our Gemara is teaching us that Eitzim could be a carbon itself. So it's very interesting that we find that when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak to the Akedah, it says that he put the Eitzim on Yitzchak. Why only the Eitzim did he put on Yitzchak and none of the other items that were taken along to the Akedah? Answer Mefarshim. The Eitzim, as we learned in our Gemara, have a Kedusha, or a carbon. Yitzchak Avinu at that point was a carbon oiler. So you could put on a carbon, which is Kadosh, another item which is Kadosh, the Eitzim. But the knife and the other items that were taken along did not have in them that Kedusha. Therefore, they could not be put on Yitzchak, who had the status of a carbon. A carbon can't be used for Dover, which is not Kadosh, like a carbon.